When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
All right. Well, we get into some cool new electric cars. We'll talk about the Trans Am race coming up. What else did we discuss in today's program?
The new Kona Zeg. What an amazing piece of machinery.
And what a vast wasteland of exotic cars or performance cars I had available to me when I got out when I got out of high school. Not that I could afford
super impressive.
I couldn't afford a Mini. I couldn't afford a Toyota Mini, you know,
yeah, the mini
standard
truck.
Bed, no headrest pickup truck, new.
Yeah.
But you know what my problem was? I used to I'd open the newspapers.
Other than your income and your upbringing?
Well, yeah, income and upbringing. But the problem would be is I would see these things in the newspaper. They'd be like, Universal City Nissan can put you in a new 1985 Nissan pickup truck for payments as little as $89 a month. And I'd go, I think I could handle that. I could do 89. I could drive a new. And then I'd get there and it'd be like, it was just a one truck. And then also, your credit score is horrible. We'd have to charge you 27%, and we need $3,000 down. And I'd just be like,
yeah, this is not what I
read about.
I knew
there was
a
reason why I couldn't have a new
pickup
truck. Fake news. I'll tell you what's real news. Tommy John, everyone. Tommy John, they don't give an F. They give three Fs. Fabric, fit, and function. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. No wedgie guarantee. Comfortable, stay-put waistbands, luxurious, soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics that move with you. No bunching or riding up. I'm wearing mine right now. I'm wearing the T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the T-shirts are so good. Listen to this. I was on the rowing machine last night.
Yeah.
Right? I was on the rowing machine at like 7 in the evening. I worked up a little froth with the on the rowing machine. I had a nice big patch of sweat on my back and my chest from being on the rowing machine for half an hour. I immediately had to get dressed and go to the Laugh Factory and do comedy. And when I was in my office getting changed, I was wearing this Tommy John T-shirt and it was sweat, a big patch of sweat on the front and the back. And I said, you know what? I'm not changing my shirt. I said, by the time I get to the club, it'll be dried out.
Yeah.
And it was. And I just wore it on stage. And then I got up this morning. I just put it on.
Yeah.
I'm a warrior.
Yeah.
That's Tommy John. You can get them online or you can go to over 1,200 retail locations across the country, including Nordstrom stores. It is Tommy John, right, Matt?
Yeah. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/CarCast for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/CarCast for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/CarCast.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church. Get on a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning into CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator. DeAndre over there.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I got this big pile of the Carroll Shelby story, Shelby American jackets. And I just sit around and sign them. When I'm doing podcasts, I got a big thick brick of them. I've had so many instances in my life where someone just sent me somewhere with a brick of things to sign, like jacket covers or jackets for books or DVDs or whatever. And the best way to do it is just to put it in front of you and then just peck away. Just peck away. If you try it all in one sitting, you'll go insane.
What about the cars with autopilot? Can you do it while you're driving in?
Oh, that's a good point.
Although more and more people seem to be crashing than they are not, because people like take a nap or eat a bowl of soup when their Tesla's on autopilot, and then, you know, then it crashes. But I don't know. Feels like that could be the future for you one day. is an autonomous car, so you can sign stuff on the way.
Look, there's a couple things. When people go like, I don't want some computer, some robot driving me, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, first things first. Have you heard of human error? It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Everyone I talk to is a dope. They fuck up all the time. Yeah. And every time, every 5 minutes I drive, there's somebody just rear-ended somebody else. So,
right.
There's tons of, I mean, look, most airplanes and helicopters and stuff crash because of human error.
Yeah.
All the car crashes are human error. These aren't mechanical failures.
Right.
This is like someone's just plowed in the back of somebody else or, you know, spaced out or whatever. So I'm not weighing it again. I'm not weighing the automated driving or autopilot in an airplane or any of that. I'm not weighing it against zero human errors. I'm weighing it against a lot of human errors. I was driving home yesterday. There's just a big crash on the other side of the freeway. Somebody had just clearly rear-ended somebody else, and mm-hmm. the person that rear-ended them was not paying attention.
Yeah. I'd be down for, like, autonomous, you know, like, not my car. I don't need it in my car. I like driving my cars, but, you know, like, buses, trains, and Uber.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a driverless Uber.
Well, what if Kobe's helicopter had the terrain sensor on it and something took over, the computer took over, basically, when the thing was getting too close to the side of the hill?
Yeah.
Wouldn't we like that?
I'm sure a lot of people would like
that. I would, yeah. So anyway. All right. So, and also, you can't really do any spirited driving in L.A. anyway, so you might as well just, you know, enjoy it. Also, I think, let the car drive itself. You take a nap in the back seat. What if you just fitted your car with a roll bar, put in a 6-point harness, put a racing seat in the middle of the back seat, and you just sat there? You just strapped yourself in, put a helmet on, and just hit destination.
Just in case the autonomous thing
just crack a beer.
Does it go? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel like you'd get a ticket for an open container if that was the case. All right. So that is interesting stuff. I was watching Rush. For some reason, I came upon the last 35 minutes of the movie Rush,
mm-hmm.
which is, I don't want to say underrated,
Nicky Lauda,
but yeah,
I always love that part.
A little underappreciated.
Yeah.
A little underappreciated movie. It's a really good movie. And I had, you know, when you watch it, it's like you can now Google everything. And I was looking at it and I was laughing because when we talked to Mario Andretti, he was like, when they showed the leaderboard in Japan, the last race of the season in the rain, Mario got cropped out. He was at the top. But I thought to myself, that was a Japanese Grand Prix. I looked at this one underneath it, you know, and I know Ron Howard's going to do really accurate historical stuff. And so if you look at that scene, they only have three characters on the leaderboard that can only abbreviate people's names. Like Hunt was probably, I don't know, H-U-N or something or whatever, whatever it was. I saw D-E-P. It just said D-E-P in second place. And I was like, I wonder who that guy was. And it was Patrick DePaler or DePaler or some version of that.
Yeah, French. Okay. So maybe like DePaye.
DePaye. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Patrick DePaye. And I was like, I wonder what happened to that guy. And it's like, oh, he died 2 years later and whatever race. Yeah. And it was, Hunt was H-N-T.
H-N-T, yeah.
And this guy was D-E-P. And then what happened to Patrick? You can look it up. I think he was dead within 2 years. I'll give Chris a minute on that. And then when I looked at the next, then I was looking at this other race, and that was the race where Nicky Lauda came back after the big accident, and everyone was going nuts, and Nicky Lauda came in fourth. And I said, who came in first place? Come on, Max Spada. Who came in first place? And I think it was Ronnie Peterson, Jacques Lafitte, No.
The 1976 at Monza?
I don't think it was Jacques Lafitte. I thought it was Ronnie Peterson. Let me check. Anyway.
Let me check. Oh, you know what? You're right. It was Ronnie Peterson. I had the
Who came in first at the race where Niki Lauda came back?
Yeah, they had the qualifying list.
Oh, qualifying. Yeah. Oh, okay. What about practice? Who came in first in the race where Niki
Lauda?
Oh, jeez. What is the computer? Like, this is why the computer's no good. Forget about what I said about the computer. It's now no good anymore,
it's no
right?
Good.
It's how do we end up human with, error. You said it yourself.
It's human error.
I know. Well, how do we end up with qualifying?
If you look at the page, I'll show you. It's confusing.
Okay. It's qualifying?
All right.
So the first list of you would think that the results would be the first thing they show you, but no, it's the qualifying in the box.
Okay.
And it's a similar box.
All right. It's similar. I get it, but it's...
All right.
Anyway, what happened? So...
Next time, ask Siri.
Patrick died in 1980 in a car race. I don't know which.
He was testing a car. There's a suspension.
Oh, he was
failure.
Testing. Yeah. See, a lot of guys die in testing. Wow. A lot of people don't know that people die 10 miles. You know, a lot of guys. Yeah. McLaren died in testing. Yeah. You know, a lot of guys that you don't hear about it. Or like they don't make much of it because it's not the race.
Yeah.
But there, a lot of guys die in testing, and. Then Ronnie Peterson, he died 2 years later, I think, in 78 after the town. So it's like you just see these random names coming in first or second or whatever. These guys are dead. They don't see their 37th birthday.
Yeah, which is a little sad why we don't hear about them much after that because, you know, they did well, but they didn't go on to the longer history of racing.
Well... They were around for a while, but there's just too many guys to keep track of at a certain point. And so Ronnie Peterson went back to Monza after he won at Monza and then got into an accident and car caught on fire. And James Hunt was like one of the guys that helped pull him out, like the other drivers have to pull him out, and it's like it's basically his legs were crushed, and then he just went in the hospital and died the next morning or whatever. But it's just kind of eerie when you're looking at those names up on the leaderboard, and I just picked out two random names. I was just like, who won that race?
Yeah.
Who's the guy who came in second in that race? And they both were dead within 3 years, basically, of those races.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? It was really dangerous. I mean, how dangerous is that sport that I just picked out two random names that were on the screen and the both guys
They're
were
both
dead?
Gone.
Yeah. I mean, neither one of them retired. They're both, I mean, obviously, Niki Lauda's coming back from a horrific accident, and the guy wins the race on the race he's coming back with dies testing.
I couldn't imagine what, you know, like a whatever, like a 30 for 30 or just some like half hour overview show just talking about the tragedies of racing. Like, I bet it would be, obviously it'd be very, very morbid, but there would just be an overwhelming amount of tragedy in motorsports.
Yeah.
If you just did like a 30 minute documentary about the history,
well,
like the tragic history of motorsports.
I think you would, I would just pick F1 and just do like a decade, like the 70s of F1 or the 60s of F1. But it was a, you know, it was a crazy lethal sport.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Maybe that was the juice, though, for a lot of these guys. Like, that was kind of it, right? Like, you know, like racing's dangerous, but back then it was life-threatening. It was like now... It's still dangerous, but I think we're more concerned about drivers getting hurt.
Yes.
Back then, there was no hurt. It was just like dead or not, right? Like if you were in an accident, like...
Well, pretty much. I mean, Niki Lauda, obviously one of the few guys who kind of escaped death, but cheated death. But you were just killed. They didn't... I think they kind of liked it that way. It's like they played hockey with no helmets and they had the cars in the 50s didn't have roll bars, you know. It was
a lot of like cheater roll bars, you know, like, oh, it's aluminum or thin-walled or, you know, something that probably wouldn't do too much for you?
I didn't,
look at the roll bar we pulled out of your 935 hanging on the wall. You could pick up with one hand.
It was aluminum.
It's aluminum.
And they passed oil through it.
Yeah.
It had a oil.
That's safe. That's better.
It had like a bung on one side of it and a bung on the other side of it, and they would push oil through from the back of the car to the front to the heat exchange, I guess.
Might as well be surrounded by hot oil.
Yes, it was crazy, though, kind of crazy like a fox. John Morton told me that he'd make his roll bars out of like a thin wall steel, so just to save weight. Mm-hmm. And I was actually looking at the 510 BRE car that Sean and Jose are working on over at the other shop. By the way, sad realization with Jose. He was over here because he's kind of an amateur plumber, and we had some problems with the sink, so I called Jose over here. And it's weird that, well, first things first, like the new breed of cat, mm-hmm. the new young man, like doesn't know how to drive a stick shift and has no like how to fix the garbage disposal skills, like weird things that we kind of took for granted, like I could unclog a drain or whatever. Not part of the new world order. But Jose, a little old school, he came over here. So he's kicking on the garbage disposal. Yeah. And it sounds like shit. Like it sounds like someone threw ball bearings and a fork in there.
Yeah,
it's like, okay. Oh, and he's like just leaving it running. He's just looking at me and I'm like, shut it off. Like it sounds like a car engine when you threw a rod, you know, and someone's just gassing it. And you're like, no, shut it off.
It's broken.
And I go, Jose, that sounds like shit. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's so loud. Yeah. Like, it sounds like you put a couple butter knives in there. And he goes, I go, you think it's broken? And he goes, I don't know. And I go, well, it sounds broken to me. And he goes, never had a garbage disposal.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you're like AOC. AOC never had, she had a video where she like went to her sink in her new apartment. It was like, I never had a garbage disposal.
That's a rich man's game.
Yeah, I guess so. But then I was looking at, I started thinking about this piece of shit house I grew up in the valley. I think we had a garbage disposal.
I think in the 20 years of renting apartments in LA, I've never had a garbage disposal.
Really?
Never had a dishwasher.
Well, fuck the dishwasher.
Barely have hot water.
Anyway, I was...
that was a rich man thing.
I was looking... I'm sure we had one in my old house in North Hollywood. They bulldozed it, so we'll never know now. But
So he didn't know what a garbage disposal is supposed to sound like because he's never...
It was so deafening, and it sounded... Again, it sounded like it was like a jet engine was coming undone, you know what I mean? Like parts were... impeller blades were flying off and stuff. Like, I couldn't... He still had nothing to compare it to, but I was like, hey, Dr. Disposal, you should still know this ain't it. You should know that Rich Whitey wouldn't put up with this shit.
I don't know. Like, on one hand, he could be like... You know, garbage disposal has been around for a while. Why can't we make this thing a little bit quieter?
Yes.
But then again, hair dryers are still loud as shit for some reason.
It's true. There's something about moving air that we can't.
Like, we can't make a silent vacuum cleaner?
Think you could put a diffuser. I got to tell you, that the fucking vacuum cleaner, even the Roomba, even the remote, the robot.
Yeah.
That thing's going up and down the hall. I got to go shut the door in my office. Like, it is loud. You can't watch sports.
Why? It's not a leaf blower.
No.
Now, they make that loud on purpose to annoy us.
So I was looking at the 510 BRE car over at the other shop, and the roll cage is the side impact consists of just 1.25 inch bar that's about 9 inches off the floor that just goes right across. Like it's there's one bar and one bar only, just nothing. It's not triangulated or anything. Like it'd be easy. That thing would just fold in the middle in a second. And then the passenger side has nothing.
Right.
And the other BRE car is a little more stout in the roll. In the cage. And I was just saying to Sean, I'll bet whoever ordered this just went, make it as light as you can.
Yeah.
And Brock probably said, do you want one side impact on the passenger side, and the guy ordered it, probably went, no. Like, right. I don't want to add weight. I don't want, you're going to charge me an extra $100 to put that thing in, and it's going to add an extra 15 pounds, and I'm not having a passenger in the car.
Yeah.
No, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And on the driver's side, like, just put the minimal. Just put one bar.
Yeah.
So it was, it's light, and Sean was like, do you want to beef it up?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I don't want to beef it up. I don't, by the time you're done with this car, it'll be too expensive to drive in those B sedan races with all the fake BREs and all the guys. I mean, there's a whole bunch of guys out there and their $30,000 sort of pea shooters that are going ballistic, just driving the shit out of them. And I thought, I don't think I need to drive this one in that race.
Right. Okay.
But I don't want to screw around with the original cage, right?
Yeah. But now there's a story to it. Like you said, if you're not going to have a lot of seat time in it, now you could, you know, open the door and tell the story and go, hey, you know, look at this. This is kind of crazy. The lack of safety equipment compared to, you know, the next car.
Right.
So might as well keep it that way. I would agree that if you were going to put some, you know what I would even propose to Sean would be, if you did want to drive it, have him come up with, I'm sure he can make a couple of crossbars that are clamp on. Like he'll make some big heavy duty clamps and have it just sort of attach, and you know, it wouldn't be, you know, as good as welding, but certainly better than what's there.
Yeah, I think in the Porsche or something, I've definitely seen some roll bars that have a sort of modular aspect.
Yeah, that's a good example. On that one, that does have, you know, some heavy duty bolt in pieces. And these days with, you know, what we can do with the machining gear and stuff and that we have over there and Sean doing it, he can make it pretty beefy.
Right. All right. So I hopefully am in this, I think we're in this professional Trans Am race, which is going to be Laguna Seca. We talked to the Burton Racing guys, Claudio, and I think they got us set up with a sponsor, and I think we're going to go down there and do that.
Yeah, it's looking good.
Yeah, what is that, May 1st, 2nd, 3rd or something?
I believe it is. I believe it's the very beginning of May, 1st through 3rd, like you said. Laguna Seca, it's the same, pretty much the same car that you did a few years ago. You know, a couple of updates and things that they had on it. I don't know how exactly they have it configured for that track. Do they do a little horsepower change or gear changers or whatever? But I know it's figured it's going to be 800 to 850 horsepower in that range. And I think it runs the new Camaro body, but I'm not exactly sure.
Pretty sure.
That sequential transmission should be nice. And maybe you can get the digital dash to work. Maybe.
Well, we'll just put it on the setting.
Oh, just put it in race mode?
You had it in hit mode.
Hit mode. I didn't have it in any mode.
You should really check that before we go out into the track. Yeah, and this time I was talking to Kyle Busch about his helmet, you know, and I said, I want to get the radio to work in my helmet. And I said, well, you must use the fitted earpieces, you know. And he's like, no, I don't use those. Because those are super uncomfortable, by the way. They I don't know if you've ever, I've had it done a few times. I've had earpieces
Chris
done.
Chris uses them all the time.
I've used them when I did, when I did my first, when Drew and I did our first season of Loveline on MTV, they fitted us both with these IFB, whatever, earpieces. Like, they mold them.
Yeah.
And they put them in your ear. And so what happens is the director, and they go, the director will be up in the booth and they'll just go to break, or rap in 10, or rap in 2, or something like that, right? But when inevitably, what ends up happening is they end up going, hey, here's something that's funny. Ask him about his wife. And I'm like, shut up. You're not funny.
Yeah.
And you're fucking in my head now. And I'm like talking to some, you know, I'm talking to Slash from Guns N' Roses. And it's like, ask him about Axl's. And I'm like, I'm talking to the guy and you're fucking in my ear. And so I was like, I can't do this. Or you have to be smart. or funny or, yeah. or something. You, it's like
hold up the cue card that says 2 minutes because I don't need the commentary.
Guy with shitty sense of humor calling out directions like in your head while you're talking. While you're talking, I was like, "Fuck that!" And so I got rid of it. But I had it molded. And when you have them molded, when you put the molds in, it's like they fit your ears and they it's good, but not for the Coca-Cola 600. That's like, that's a lot of, they're a little bit, trying to, what to liken it to. It's, I don't know. It's kind of like, I don't know, it'd be like putting on a knee brace and it's good to play like a pickup basketball game for an hour. But I don't know, if you wore it for 7 hours, it'd start getting uncomfortable, you know? And I was talking to Kurt Busch, and he's like, I have like headphones in my helmet.
Yeah, okay.
Because if you think about it, if you're in the car for hours and hours and hours and you can't get to your ears and you got those twist fitted molded ones, like kind of plastic ones in there, it's going to start getting irritating after
a
while.
Or even a little itchy or a little uncomfortable. So you think he has like a round the ear like cup in there, probably.
That's basically what he said, but I don't know, Max Brown. Now I have to look at helmet, you know, radio, because
what you need is something that eliminates a lot of the outside noise. So that's why the in-ears work so well.
Yeah, but he went on to say, I don't know where you were during that interview.
I was right here.
Oh, were you? Okay. Well, maybe reading the back of your eyelids. He said, I have to hear some outside noise. I have to hear when cars are coming up on me and stuff. Yeah. Like, you can't be completely shut out in that world. You will hear guys next to you or coming next to you or like accelerating or whatever it is. You need your own sounds. You need to hear your own. You need a little of that.
I was getting to that.
I'm sure you were, sir.
In Ford v Ferrari, they talk to each other side by side.
Look at each
other. Hey, what was that move?
Back off.
Yeah. Like having a conversation.
So, but I don't know. See what that helmet is.
Because there are certain headphones that you can adjust the decibel.
The outside of it.
Yeah. So you can hear what's going on, but you don't want the speakers blasting so loudly because you'll go deaf after,
he's got a couple things. He has to hear his spotter. He's not listening to constant music or anything. He just has to hear general, you know, pit, you know, and then the guy will come off. So it's like, it's, you want that a little louder to be on the safe side, because, but I don't know what this helmet is, but I thought to myself, if I'm going to go do this race, I want to get myself a helmet that has some sort of system in it, because last time, just shoving those weird foam earplugs with the leads on the end of them, I couldn't hear shit.
Yeah, so I use those too at this race in Irwindale, and you kind of put the tape over there so it doesn't fall out. But I was thinking that too, like you kind of want to hear what's going around, especially in the stock cars on that oval track. The way that seat is half the seat kind of comes around like the side of your face, like a batting helmet, you know, and so you can't turn your head and see somebody on the outside. You can only see your left on the inside. So you kind of want to hear, and the spotter helps. So I just had the one earphone in and then the other ear, just nothing. So I can hear kind of outside. But
well, that's interesting.
But you're right. That little foam one that they put in there, when you're on the throttle, you can't really hear the guy. You could just hear him crackling in your ear like he's going to say something, right? You know, and then when you're off the gas or going into a turn or something and getting on the brakes, you can kind of hear him go brake or throttle or whatever, like if he's coaching.
Well, I'm gonna work it out this time, and I'm gonna talk to the team before and figure out like what the jack is or the equipment is or whatever, and then I'm gonna get myself a system that would be compliant with that. All right, hit Geico.
I like this. We're planning.
I know we're going to get the seat adjusted.
All of that. Maybe we get a practice session in there. Are you going to go to the driver's meeting?
Because I did. You have to. But last time, I got in the car and I was like, oh, this is not right. He's like, here's a throw pillow. He gave me a piece of foam. Yeah. He's like, put the foam in. He's sit like, on the foam.
Use this hoagie. Use this Geico, maybe you guys, you have a home, you own it, you rent it, and can be a lot of work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing because you already have a lot to do around your home already. So now just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right. Koenigsegg. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Koenigsegg. Man.
Somebody tweeted me that, I think.
Cars are going nuts. We were talking about this a little bit earlier in the week. Goldberg and I were talking about Geneva Auto Show. And, you know, the whole thing was a debacle. It got canceled and coronavirus stuff. And you know, so everyone's going to virtual car debuts.
Oh, right.
You know, videos
right,
and sure, photos sure. and press releases and right. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And a few of the cars that I pointed out this week were new Porsche 911 Turbo S, mm-hmm. right? 640 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds.
Wow.
A new McLaren 765 LT. It's an evolution of the 720S.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that we liked was this Koenigsegg, and it has something that I think you're going to be really interested in. First of all, it's the Koenigsegg, I think Gemera could be... Gemera.
Right.
And if you see the photo up here, it is a four-seat, two-door, and the doors pop out and scissor straight up, and all four passengers can get in and out at the same time, and it looks fantastic. It is a hybrid mega car now. We've done supercar, we've done hypercar, now we're at mega car.
Mm-hmm.
It has a gas engine, and it has three electric motors.
Mm-hmm.
It is 1,677 horsepower, 2,581 pound-feet of torque.
2,500.
Yeah.
Almost 2,600 pounds of torque.
This is the cool part. Now, we've talked about Koenigsegg's technology where he does the camless engine and it opens the valves with servos so he can control... cam timing. He can control the lift anywhere he wants. So his gas engine, okay, listen to this. 2 liter, three cylinder, sequential turbocharged, right? That to me is saying more than one turbo, maybe in line.
Yeah, I guess it's saying small turbo for lag at the bottom and bigger turbo feeding into bigger turbo for the higher end stuff. But go ahead.
2 liter, three cylinder, 592 horsepower, 443 pound feet of torque. Almost 600 horsepower
you
out of a
you
three
start
cylinder.
Doing? Start rounding. Cool. Start rounding. It always screws
it's 600
me.
Horsepower.
600 horsepower. Yeah, because a day, 2 days from now, I'll remember, it's like if you go, it's got 2,586 foot-pounds. If you just say 2,600 foot-pounds of torque, it'll be
so
in
imagine
my head
this.
Otherwise.
The gas engine is 600 horsepower. The car is almost 1,700 horsepower, and it's 2,600 pound-feet of torque. But that's a tiny engine, and it's three cylinders.
And, wow, that's...
600 horsepower.
He must make that engine.
He makes it. And it says camless technology and the whole thing. So I proposed to Goldberg. I was like, hey, when is it going to be that somebody, you know, calls Koenigsegg and says, hey, I'm doing a SEMA build. I just want your little three-cylinder, 600-horsepower, 2-liter engine.
Yeah. You could put that thing in like an RD400 Yamaha. Thing weighs 140 pounds.
Yeah, what's that stupid motorcycle with the V8 engine? The Boss Hog or Boss Hoss?
It's so ridiculous. They had one of
those.
It
has like a Chevy 350 in it. Why not put the Koenigsegg engine?
Well, they had one with a Viper engine in it.
Yeah.
It's just it's retarded. It's fucking ridiculous.
That's a crazy car.
Well, I'm going to say this. I've said, look, it's never been a better time to be a poor guy and need a car or like, you know, middle poor regular guy because you could get a 3-year-old Mini Cooper S.
Mm-hmm.
you get it, you know, bring a trailer or an eBay or something, you could get a 3-year-old Mini Cooper S for $19,000 and have a cool little car yeah. that was under warranty that worked and blah, blah, blah. And it's never been a better time to be rich.
Yeah.
Too. Now, you have to remember, you know, maybe the key, maybe about the heart of the car era is, I mean, personally, is sort of like when I left high school, I didn't have a car in high school. And when I left high school, it was time to start thinking about, cars and dreaming about cars, Matthew. And I was like, I needed a piece of shit pickup truck or something so I could do construction. Yeah. But I also, of course, I was a car guy and I was like dreaming of the day. You know, what could I get? You turn the clock back to 1982, 3, 4, like when I was struggling and living in a garage, but kind of dreaming about like, whoa, if I strike it big, like what kind of car would I get? And it was like Ferrari had a 308 or 328. The Mondial or the Mondial, whatever Ferrari was coming out. You know, Porsche had a 911 SC or something that was sporty looking. The turbo had been out, but it wasn't, you know, 240 horsepower or something like that or whatever it was, 260, 220, somewhere in there. You know, Jag didn't have any offerings. Mm-hmm. BMW had... I don't think they were getting into the, they hadn't gotten into the M stuff yet. There's just like 3 Series and 5 Series, you know. Yeah. Let's see, it was Porsche, Ferrari, you know, American stuff just had like big Trans Am, you know, it'd say 4-wheel disc on the handle to get in and stuff, like big sloppy plastic stuff, you know, that looked like big junky, crappy stuff. Again, there wasn't, you know, wasn't any Mini Cooper, there wasn't any, you know, Ford didn't really have anything that was too sporting. You know, they had the Mustang and it kind of looked big and plasticky to me and stuff. And nothing, there wasn't any real performance in anywhere. No. You couldn't find any real performance in Ferrari. You couldn't, you know, Porsche's always a little better than everyone else, but even they were struggling to find, you know, a real strong 0-60 time.
Still like emissions kicking in and things like that.
Oh,
like
my God. Picture
killing horsepower.
Picture a Corvette from 1982 when I graduated high school. It's like worst Corvette ever, you know? And it was like, there wasn't anything out there. And I remember just kind of going like, well, even if I do strike it big, like I still wanted to drive a, you know, Lamborghini, a, I guess at a Countach. It was starting to get a little oversized. Yelba. There was nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing good. And it was all super expensive. I mean, it was all way more money than I could ever even dream of affording, but there wasn't anything decent. And so I was like, well, what if I got a 71 240Z? Or a 2000 Roadster Datsun from 69. Like, let's not go ahead in time. Let's go back in time.
Yeah.
See what there is. Either way, it's a good time now to buy yourself a sporting car. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the BMW lineup, you know, 1 Series, 2 Series, 3 Series, you know, and there's a whole bunch. Ford's got a bunch of cool stuff. Yeah. Mini. I mean, there's a whole bunch of brands that weren't even really in that realm, that department.
And a couple things, you know, like there's a bunch of cars 2-3 years old that are fantastic.
Oh, and as we always kind of talk about that, that Audi R8,
yeah,
you know, buy one of those that's 3 years old, look like a big shot for $61,000 or whatever it is. We got our Peterson Automotive Museum CarCast live, and we also have we're going to do a car judging, right? We're going to do a car show.
We're going to do a car show. We've got 4 categories so far, and our friends at Jegs have stepped up. They're going to give $250 gift cards to each of those category winners.
And that'll be at the Peterson.
Yeah, it'll be March 21st.
And I'm trying to figure out when it starts, because like it says starts at 2, but should people start rolling up? If you want your car judged,
yeah.
What time should you start pulling in?
I think you get in a little bit early. The spectators are allowed to go in at 2, so you can load your car in a little bit before that. And it goes late. It goes to about 10 at night. I think we're doing a podcast 7 or 7:30 at night. So it's an all-day event. But if you buy the all-encompassing ticket, you get the wristband. You can kind of come and go if you need to.
All right. And go to adamcarolla.com for my live shows. I got live shows coming up all over the place as well. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Carolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Geico, do you own, do you rent? You probably do one or the other. How about you bundle your insurance at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving on your homeowners insurance and your renters insurance when you bundle them together at Geico. That is geico.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.